You are listening to Pandora's Box Radio with Kalia LaRoche. For more information about my products and services, counseling, coaching, hypnotherapy, books, and audios, please visit narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia, and today we're going to talk about the lack of support that you might be feeling if you're in recovery from narcissistic abuse or anything else for that matter. This is a very common issue that's worth discussing, and I haven't done a podcast on this topic before. I've talked about it in other podcasts, but I haven't devoted a podcast to this topic. Some of what I'm going to talk about may be a bit difficult to hear because it can be painful when we face a truth that we haven't wanted to look at. It's painful when we realize that the person we've fallen in love with and believe that we were building a life with turns out to be personality disordered. This is a truth that is very difficult to face for most people. It's so difficult to face that many people find ways to avoid really accepting the truth in favor of the lie. Yes, we will often choose to live a lie rather than face the truth. And although you may not be able to see what you're doing, your friends and family often do. Now, I realize that some of you listening have dysfunctional family relationships and even some dysfunctional friendships. So I'm not talking about lack of support from narcissistic friends or family members. If you have narcissistic family members, when were they ever really supportive? I'm talking about your more normal friends and family who have watched you over the months, years, or even decades going through all the drama with a narcissistic partner. You may have shared the many stories of betrayal and crazy-making dynamics. You may have even pushed your friends and family members away because you didn't have time for them. The relationship consumed all of your time. People who have previously been supportive of you may ask, "Why did you stay with someone like this?" The only answer you can give is, "I love him," or "I love her," or "He's my soulmate, she's my soulmate. He has some kind of strange hold on me." What you have to realize is that you are the one who is hooked or has been hooked, not the friends or family members, so they don't understand why you're tolerating an intolerable situation. People who care about you don't want to see you suffer, and they don't want to see you abused. So when you continue to stay in a situation where you are tolerating horrible behavior, your friends will often throw up their hands. There's nothing they can do to help you. So when you come back for their support years later, they may not be available anymore. They may have lost respect for you because in many ways you had lost respect for yourself. Another common scenario is when you're with Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful who can do no wrong in the eyes of your friends and family. This is the person who's so charming, charismatic, and convincing that nobody can believe that person would be capable of being anything other than what they see. They can't grasp that there is another personality showing itself behind closed doors. The friends or family members may see you becoming more and more distressed, disconnected, depressed, and nervous, while Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful continue to be smooth, stable, and secure, at least on the outside. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful may drop a few hints of concern for your emotional stability, suggesting that you just don't seem yourself lately, raising concern from friends or family about your emotional stability. Unfortunately, people tend to believe more what they see with their own eyes, and they don't often imagine there's another story happening behind the scenes. When you try and explain that Mr. Wonderful is actually a pathological liar, a cheater, and a manipulator, those who have only seen his amazing, wonderful side may think that you've lost your marbles, especially if Mr. Wonderful already planted some seeds of concern about your emotional stability. Another scenario is when you finally leave this toxic relationship and are suffering from PTSD. Most people don't associate PTSD with a relationship. They associate it with having been to war or a victim of a serious traumatic incident or accident. If someone has not personally suffered from PTSD, they aren't going to understand the symptoms. All they can see is that you appear to be obsessed with your ex, angry, bitter, emotionally unstable, and unable to move on. They may see that your narcissistic partner has moved on and tell you they've moved on. Why don't you? Often when friends and family members react this way to you, you may ask yourself the same question. Why am I not able to move on? Why am I so obsessed? Why am I so emotionally unstable, nervous, anxious, and paranoid? What's wrong with me? Meanwhile, your narcissistic ex is spreading rumors about how crazy and unstable you are. Common friends may notice that you are somewhat unstable and believe that your ex might be right about you. You may have friends that are there for you in the beginning when you're first going through a breakup and reaching out for help, but after a few months, they grow tired of your continued need to talk about what happened to you or what that person is still doing. They get burned out and wonder why you can't get past it. Sound familiar? The truth is, a breakup with a narcissist isn't a normal breakup. You aren't experiencing normal breakup symptoms. You aren't just going through a heartbreak. You're going through a breakdown as a result of emotional and psychological trauma. Most people will not understand this because they don't have a frame of reference. All they know about is a normal breakup and a normal heartbreak, which begins to fade after a short time, after a couple bottles of wine and a couple pints of Ben and Jerry's. Well, at least that's what they do in the movies, right? When you realize that you don't have the support you would like to have from family and friends, what is your next step? What do you do? Well, most people isolate. They cut themselves off from others and just sink into their own little cocoon. In fact, isolating is a common symptom of PTSD. It can feel much safer to just be alone. Not only do you not have to face well-meaning friends, but you don't want to risk being exposed to anyone or anything that will remind you of the trauma or trigger you in some way. You especially don't want to run into the narcissist and or the new person in their lives. Isolating seems like the best solution. There's also a tendency to isolate because you're well aware that rumors are being spread about you and you're very much concerned with what people think of you or believe about you. You may be afraid of running into people who are the recipient of the lies that have been told about you, and have them look at you like you're crazy, emotionally unstable, or worse yet, narcissistic. You can't bear the thought that people are looking at you this way and judging you. The reason I work in the field of narcissistic abuse and trauma recovery is that I've been on the inside of this kind of trauma and I really understand it. I understand the need to have support from someone who really understands what it's like to go through narcissistic abuse and suffer the post-traumatic stress as a result. We need to have someone on our team when we're in recovery because this is a very crazy-making disorder, and most of us coming out of it feel crazy. We need a link with sanity in order to fully recover. We need help to recover from the crippling symptoms of PTSD and our obsession with our abuser or his or her new supply. We need to be able to work through our feelings of anger, rage, jealousy, revenge, betrayal, injustice, grief, deep sadness, depression, and even suicidal ideation. So please, if you find yourself in this situation, reach out for help from someone who is truly equipped to help you. You don't have to do this alone, even if your friends and family can't be there for you. You need to be there for you. You need to face the deeper truth about what is happening and find the inner strength to move beyond this. I would like to talk about some ways to help you get beyond some of the typical issues you might be facing, especially if you're isolating. One is, try not to go to that place where you cut your friends and family off further because they're not supporting you in the way that you need to be supported. Although you are really the one who needs compassion and understanding right now, you will need to have some understanding for the limitations of those who can't understand you. They may genuinely love you and care for you, but just not be equipped to be able to truly support you through this. It may do you good to have a break from talking about your situation with friends and just spend a little time together, watching a movie or going for a hike or a bike ride or something that just takes your mind off it for a while. I get the obsession. I've been there. I know it's a real challenge to not talk about it, but see your time with these friends as opportunities to practice doing normal things and talking about normal things. Even just an hour here and there can be good, and you will continue to nurture your friendships. Number two, those who have been emotionally drained in a toxic relationship have a tendency to be emotionally draining to others. Those who have been bit by the vampire can become the vampire. We need to be mindful on our own neediness and how we might be emotionally draining to our friends and family. We also need to understand our own tendency to be the needy one in our relationships, who does all the talking and doesn't really listen or offer support to others. Our trauma can cause us to be self-absorbed. This is why therapy is necessary. Therapy allows you to be self-absorbed. You don't have to consider the needs of your therapist or your coach. You're hiring them to listen to you and help you along the road to recovery. But friendships are two-way streets, and although there are times in friendships where we give and times where we receive, those who are deeply traumatized do much more receiving than giving in the relationship, so it may begin to feel lopsided or one-way streets to your friends. This is not always the case. Some of you are still very much capable of being there for your friends even while in recovery. Just be mindful of how you're showing up. Be careful to avoid the pitfall of discarding your friends during this phase. We often fear that everybody in our life have suddenly become narcissists. And it may be true that you have a long-standing pattern that you were unaware of before now of attracting narcissists into your life. But it may not be true that all of your friends are narcissists. They may simply be ill-equipped to support you through this. On the other hand, learning about narcissism may bring to your attention how narcissistic people in your life really are. You may realize that you had a very narcissistic parent or parents, a sibling, friend, coworker, or boss who is narcissistic. This may make you want to avoid people even more, especially the narcissistic ones. And it's okay to take a break from those who you are unsure about while you're in your recovery process and discuss these relationships with a therapist so you can be much more clear about them and if you will keep them in your life or not. If you have a tendency to isolate, be very honest with yourself on the reason that you are isolating. You may be very tired and simply not have the energy to leave the house. You may need to feel safe and anything outside of your door doesn't feel safe. You may be afraid of running into people. You may think you look awful and don't want anyone to see you like this. You may be afraid of what people are thinking about you. Once you get clear as to why you have difficulty leaving the house or refuse all social invitations, try and do something small once a week. At the very least, go grocery shopping. But try and get out for a walk or meet a friend for dinner or a movie or go to a yoga class, even if you think you won't enjoy it. With PTSD, it's typical to lose interest in the activities that you once used to enjoy. So this is normal for PTSD. But one of the therapies we use for healing PTSD is called inoculation therapy, which is to take small steps towards doing the things that frighten you. First, you need to see yourself doing it in your mind. Visualize yourself doing it successfully. And second, actually walk outside your door and do it. By actually doing the things that you fear in baby steps, it becomes easier and the fear lessens over time. If you keep avoiding the things you fear, the avoidant energy actually becomes stronger. It's important to let go of your attachment to what other people think of you or the fear that others are talking negatively about you. This is a huge crutch, and there's nothing that you can do to control how others perceive you. The most important thing is how you perceive yourself, what you think of you. You have to work on your self-love and self-acceptance. You need to align with the truth and live by that truth. If others are believing lies, that's on them, not you. It has nothing to do with you. And shame on them for believing gossip. This is not your issue. Be true to yourself and hold your head high. You know who you are, and this is all that matters. If you fear you don't know who you are, and you yourself fear that the lies may be true, get therapy to work on this. Self-love is one of the most powerful ways to heal through all this. And if you're hating on yourself because you don't feel that you're worthy of love from anyone, including yourself, get help. This is a one-way street to a miserable life, and you don't want to stay here. If you are isolating, use your time alone wisely. Don't use it to slip further into depression or an addiction of some sort. Try and avoid doing nothing but watching TV and binging on Ben and Jerry's or alcoholic drinks. Be mindful about eating a healthy diet. If you don't have much of an appetite, have fresh juices or smoothies as the basis of your diet so that you're getting your nutrients. You need to keep in mind that you are recovering from trauma and your nutrition is important. Drugs, alcohol, and processed food will only make matters worse. I've had clients contact me who are also struggling with addictions as a result of narcissistic abuse. They might have become alcoholics or food addicts, so be cautious of the tendency to fall into the trap of using food, alcohol, or drugs to deal with your pain and discomfort. In the end, it will only slow down, halt, or reverse your recovery process. It's not going to help. Feeling our feelings is the only way to work through them. The avoidance of feeling our pain will keep the pain in a suppressed state, always popping up and always being pushed back down. If you want to completely work through your pain and release it, you will need to feel it and work through it. You may need therapy for this part too, because facing our pain can be very difficult. Some people end up with disease as a result of a long-term relationship with a toxic person. You might end up with an autoimmune disease like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, MS, lupus, Lyme disease, or other issues. And just a side note, I had Lyme disease, and although Lyme is considered to be a tick bite related illness, there is more evidence to show what we know to be Lyme may actually be an autoimmune disease. So just keep that in mind. One of the best ways to heal autoimmune is through a very clean diet, proper supplementation, and moderate exercise. I followed the work of Anthony Williams, the medical medium, and Dr. Brooke Goldner at veganmedicaldoctor.com. She cured lupus on a plant-based diet, and she has patients center their diet around her powerful green smoothie recipes. So I often refer clients to her website for the green smoothie recipes and her science behind why she makes them the center of her clients' diets while they are healing. So if you're lying around the house, be sure to be doing healthy things for yourself. If you're watching a lot of TV or YouTube, watch yoga videos and get down on the floor and do yoga. Or watch educational videos that are about self-love, natural healing, recovery from toxic behavior patterns, codependency, and even nutrition for healing. It's normal to focus on videos and information about narcissism and narcissistic abuse, and it's good to know about this because it helps you to realize that his or her behavior wasn't your fault. However, we have to take responsibility for our own toxicity in the relationship, and our focus really needs to turn to our own recovery. Staying focused on the narcissist can keep us away from our recovery and stuck in blaming the narcissist for where we are, rather than looking for ways to get better. It's also important to understand PTSD and the symptoms you actually are struggling with. When someone comes to me for help, the first thing I ask them is, what are your symptoms? Although I do give space for the client to tell his or her story about what happened, and I offer support and validation for their experience, what the client wants most is to feel better about themselves, to stop the anxiety, the fear, the panic, and the self-blame. All of these symptoms can be attributed to PTSD. So we need to focus on healing the PTSD symptoms. I also focus on healing emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. A holistic approach is necessary. I take a history to explore what the core wounds and beliefs are, and we work to heal these as well. The narcissist in your life is the catalyst sometimes for your greatest inner transformation. Not only does he or she unearth all of your core wounds and beliefs, but brings your self-loathing and insecurity to the surface. Your recovery process can shine a light on how you've been treating yourself, disrespecting yourself, judging yourself, and finding fault with yourself. When you ask the question, "Why did I stay so long in this relationship?" the answer brings great awareness into yourself. The real question may be, why did I feel that I was not worthy of respect, honesty, kindness, and consideration? This is the stuff that we need to work on. Many of my clients find that they not only recover from narcissistic abuse, but they become so much more self-aware and confident than they ever have been. They learn about their weaknesses and turn them into strengths. They learn about their self-loathing and turn it into self-loving. They learn about their negative patterns of relating and choose different types of relationships and different ways of relating. The narcissist becomes a thing of the past, as he or she should be, and we come to realize that the narcissist will always be the same as he always has been, and change cannot be expected. Narcissistic personality disorder is a very tough ego defense that is rarely ever penetrated. Our fantasy that the person with NPD will magically be transformed is just a fantasy. We learn that the new girlfriend or boyfriend doesn't get to look forward to an amazing, loving relationship, but they get to look forward to the same kind of breakdown that you might be going through as they wake up to the truth of who that person is. Most of all, we learn that we can never make sense out of insanity, so we need to stop trying to figure out the narcissist and instead focus our attention and energy on figuring ourselves out. We are capable of change. We can rise up out of the darkness into the light of greater understanding and awareness. We can go on to have much greater love in our lives. As for our friends and family, and those we choose to remain in contact with, we can rebuild through openness and honesty. We can take responsibility for our own negligence of the relationship, if it is there, and even apologize for asking our friends to play the role of our therapist. True friends can become stronger as a result of your recovery. Those who are not true friends will fall away and make room in your life for more true friends. If you would like to talk to me about having some sessions, please contact me through my website at narcissismfree.com and go to either the counseling and hypnotherapy link or the contact link. Meanwhile, stay strong and know that full recovery is not only possible, but you can even become better than ever. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next podcast.